The following program is an independent production brought to you by Bridge Holistic Healing. Informative, inspirational discussions on how to enrich your life in body, mind, and spirit. Welcome to the Dr. Leslie Show, providing tips you need and expert insight on holistic living. Then join us as we delve into the spiritual journey and explore the soul in Wave of Fire on the Dr. Leslie Show. And welcome to the Dr. Leslie Show, your bridge to wholeness in body, mind, and spirit. Welcome, friends. You are joining with a global community of open hearts and open minds. So today I'm excited to bring into your company a special guest, Charles Hanna. Now, Charles has not been on with us before. This is our first time having this philanthropist, highly successful CEO, who's also the author of the book, Higher, Awaken to a More Fulfilling Life. Let me tell you a little bit about Charles. As a young man, he immigrated to Canada from Egypt, where he got an education and followed his dreams as a new Canadian citizen. From one perspective, his life was perfect. His family grew, his businesses flourished, and yet his doubt and drug addiction quietly destroyed him. It wasn't until Charles finally hit rock bottom that he discovered the tools to achieve true personal freedom and happiness. This is what Charles calls a higher life. Through his firsthand experience and his understanding of human nature, neuroscience, and life management, Charles, for the first time, is now revealing his practical and achievable techniques, tips, and tools so that we can all apply the higher way to our lives, our daily routines, and to our dreams. So I'm happy to have Charles on today. I want to tell you that he's the chairman, CEO, and founder of a third-party technology provider that he began in a basement in 1979. So this man is a powerful entrepreneur. He's a creative spirit and soul. But most importantly, he's come through the trials of fire of life, and out the other side, he's discovered tools of the truth of what living is about, and of happiness and freedom. Let me tell you a little bit more. This book, Higher, Awaken to a More Fulfilling Life, is a candid, practical, and inspiring guide to creating a richer and more meaningful life. Don't we need these tips, folks? The world's great philosophers and spiritual leaders teach us that happiness depends on how we look at life. In Higher, Charles explores how and why we can create the best possible outlook. Let's learn from Charles today the tips that he has discovered to help us get our best life now. Welcome, Charles. Thanks for being on with us today.
It's a pleasure, and thank you for having me on.
So, Charles, you know, what a journey for you. And you moved across the world to another continent early on in life, and there came the unfolding of, it sounds like, your soul journey, and really coming to realize many truths about life that led you to writing this book to help others.
Yes, it's been quite a journey with many different layers to it that I never really expected starting it out. It's been very gratifying, and I can say with all honesty that I've never been happier in my life, but there have been some very trying times.
Yes, yes. So, Charles, you know, I'd really love if you would indulge us a bit on the challenges that brought you through the breakthrough. I mean, so many times people can be living what we see as the picture-perfect life kind of materially on the outside, and hidden behind that is quiet suffering that people are not aware of unless they're in the depths of that person's life. So tell us, how is it that you were struggling and working with an addiction in your life when you had such success in family and in business? How was that going on, these two kind of contradictory lives at the same time?
Yes, I mean, it really puzzles us when we see people that are very successful and famous, and some of the great people that we lost recently through drug addiction, people like Whitney Houston, Philip Seymour, Michael Jackson, and the list goes on.
And Prince recently, yes.
So much, just give it all up or risk it and just lose it. Mm-hmm. What I have discovered from my own experience is that we are born with some incredible gifts that we take for granted, because we don't, and I'll discuss later on as to why we do that, but we take them for granted. These gifts are things like our health, life itself, our vision. Like, I would never sell my eyes for all the money in the world. What will I do with my money if I can't see things? the ability to love my children, connection with other human beings. I would not want all the money in the world if in return for that I cannot speak or talk or touch any other human being. So just human contact alone is worth more than all the money in the world. And when you think of our senses and our ability to move around and all of these things, you realize that we are born with gifts that are worth much more than anything that you can accomplish in your life in terms of power or fame or money. So what I learned in my life is that if something happens in your upbringing or in your development that robs you from your ability to enjoy one of those gifts, nothing and no amount of fame or success or power or money is going to compensate for it. And that's what happened to a lot of these people, and I feel that's what happened to me. I came at a point in time where I had something that happened in my childhood that robbed me from that ability to enjoy myself and feel connected with the world. Mm-hmm. And so that, in a summary, explains in my perspective as to why we, despite all this success, something can actually come in and undermine all of that. Now, in my case, I grew up in a very loving home. I have beautiful family and extended family. We all grew up together. But we had a tragedy that happened in my family. When I was just born around 1 year old, my older sister died. She was 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And so that, of course, devastated my parents. I'm not really aware of it, but my mom could not take care of me. She was on suicide watch. And my nanny took care of me for about a year until my mom kind of woke up to that fact and let her go. And I felt like I lost my mother probably as a child. Then she had my sister after that a couple of years later, and then another younger sister that I really connected strongly with. And that was probably the happiest time in my life, when I remember I was 5 and she was 2, and then I was 6 and she was 3. And one day on a Friday, she had a fever, and on the Monday she died. Mm. She was this most beautiful soul, and I just, not only was I just devastated by her loss, but you can imagine my parents as well. They were inconsolable. And
you know,
so they couldn't be there for me again.
Uh-huh.
So
if I can interject something there, Charles, I have learned that medical research and science shows that where grief ordinarily diminishes over time, when a parent has lost a child, science shows that the grief does not diminish, that grief stays as intense for that parent who lost the child throughout life. And they just have to keep on managing it, but the grief doesn't diminish. So, I definitely want to reach out to the pain that your parents and all parents who have lost a child have suffered through. It is definitely something that, you know, is a force to be reckoned with, that level of grief. Yeah, it's very sad.
It's awful, and I dealt with it a lot in my thought, and I talked about it a lot in the book. Mm-hmm. But as a child, I grew up believing that the people that I love are not going to be there necessarily.
Okay.
So I had fear of abandonment. I had this desire to always be independent, not need other people. I did not want to, for example, get married when I grew up. I did not want to have to help on other people because I did not want to depend on other people. So that's how I got robbed as a child growing up, despite the fact that I grew up in a very loving family. Mm-hmm. And I did not know that this was inside me. This actually got triggered much later on in my life when I was at the height of my success, where I felt abandoned and betrayed by the people closest to me, and I just disintegrated. And at the time, I toyed with drugs, and one thing led to the other, and I felt very hard to the point where I had to struggle for my life, and that's the journey after that is what I talk about in the book.
So, you know, so many times we find that life's curses are our doorway into the blessings, and so many times we see examples of life having to crash us on the rocks before we actually have born from that lowest level of suffering new understandings and new capacity of a higher life. And obviously this is how this book was born through you, as well as the new life that you stepped into. So tell us, Charles, how did you move through the pain, the addictive behaviors? How did you move through that lowest point in your life to this transformed new life that you're able to reach out and speak to others about?
It was a transformative experience that I had. I will tell you that I could not think my way through it. Mm. The more it happened and time passed, the worse I got. The more angry I became, the more I felt sorry for myself, the more I isolated, and the deeper I got into trouble. And to the point where I was dying, and I tried to go to treatment centers. I did not know what was going on with me. I had never heard of addiction before. I never had anybody in my family that had it. I was kind of like the only person, and I kept asking, why me, why me, why me, to the doors of death. And right at the very end, when I kind of lost all hope, kind of a miracle kind of happened. I look at it almost as that, where I saw myself in the mirror accidentally, and I saw something different. And to make a long story short, what I realized that night is that I was possessed. I was possessed by this disease called addiction. It was literally being possessed. It was actually using my mind to make me see the world for what it isn't. And it was using all my strengths, my abilities, my charisma, my eloquent ability to talk and explain myself properly, my strength, my willpower, my determination, all the things that made me successful, all the things that I felt made me affluent and attractive and desirable and successful as far as society is concerned. All of these tools were in my mind and being used against me. Mm. It's almost like a disease that wants to kill you.
Mm.
And when I saw that, I realized I could not think my way out of this. In fact, if I think, I will die.
Mm.
So this is a point that some addicts go to. It's called hitting bottom, and few people are lucky enough to kind of get there, and they relinquish control, and they say, I give up, you tell me what to do. And that's when I asked them, guide me through. I felt like I had hope for the first time, because I was dying. I was going down really fast for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that I had that disease, I realized for the first time there was a way out, and that is to stop thinking and let other people guide me out. Through that process, I learned several things. One of the things is I learned that there was actually unconditional love out there by people who are strangers to me. But somehow there was a connection because we were all human. They lent me a hand. They helped me because I was simply a human being. That was an incredible spiritual awakening to me, because I had lived all my life believing that the way I will find make other people attracted to me and like me and be helpful to me and back and forth is if I was strong and successful and attractive and powerful and I can help them and do all of these things for them. But in fact, it was at my lowest point, when I was completely bankrupt on every front, that I felt the deepest unconditional love that I had experienced.
Mm.
And that made me realize that being a human being was the greatest gift. It is not all the other things that I worked so hard to get and I got very successfully. In fact, I started to see that all of these things that I accumulated actually separated me from people, made me different, made it hard for them to relate to me. Yes, they looked up to me, they wanted to admire what I had, but I did not have the human connection, which was more important than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one big lesson. The second big lesson is I started to reevaluate my beliefs. One of them was, for example, that I had turned my back completely on my Egyptian culture, on my religious upbringing, which I was brought up in a very strict religious Christian family. And I discarded all of that in my upbringing, and I felt I was empowered by myself, and I do not need that. It's for the weak. It's not for me. You know, I'm in control of my destiny. And nothing short of my near-death experience would have made me look again at that. And when I looked at it again, I started to develop a concept of my God or my higher power, because it's not a religious sense the way, but I started to create it in my mind in a manner that did not conflict with anything. Like, I discarded God before because I felt from the way I was brought up, he's very nasty. He punishes, he puts you in hell, he judges you, he does this, he does that. And I couldn't comprehend how that could be a good God, and against everything that's happening in the world, if he really is watching everybody, why would he allow all these things to happen? It didn't make sense to me. But when I had the ability to really reconstruct the concept of a higher power with me, I constructed in such a manner that I was comfortable with it. So it allowed me to reach into something that's much larger than myself without all these other distractions that really undercut my ability to be, to have faith in a bigger sense.
Mm. Oh, powerful, powerful. Charles, we're just going to take a brief break, and we're going to come back in just a moment after a word from our sponsors with this powerful, powerful story. Listeners, stay tuned. This is a powerful, inspiring word from a man who has gone through a near-death experience only to find his personal awakening, his real, true awakening to himself and to God. Stay tuned. This is a Dr. Leslie Show. We'll be back in just a moment.
That's the sound of the monkeys working on cars at Grease Monkey of Mooresville. Don't be fooled by their strange noises. These monkeys know exactly what they're doing and will make sure your car runs as smoothly as their favorite swinging branch in the jungle. Better owned and operated, this Grease Monkey provides above average service plus maintenance history, dealership warranty services, and work done to factory specs. When you visit, you'll get a free interior vacuum service. Grease Monkey of Mooresville, 637 Brawley School Road.
And here's Pet Tip of the Day, brought to you by Veterinary Hospital of Davidson. Healthy, happy, holistic.
Have you ever felt guilty about sharing your table scraps with your pet? Well, healthy table scraps can be healthy for your pets too. We've been programmed to believe that dry kibble is better for our pets, but whole foods like fresh meat and vegetables is great for them, just like it is for us.
And we're back, getting ready to go into Wave of Fire. That was Pet Tip of the Day from Holistic Health and Traditional Care, your natural complementary health care that's available for you and your pet's best health ever through Davidson Vet. That's davidsonvet.com. When you call davidsonvet.com, tell them Dr. Leslie sent you, and you will be available for the Dr. Leslie Show VIP special, which will give you $25 off of your first vet visit, okay? So when you bring your pet in for the first time to see Dr. Nicole there at the Davidson Veterinary Hospital, then you're going to get $25 off. So that's a free $25 towards your pet's new level of health and well-being naturally. Again, that's davidsonvet.com. Now we're going back into a conversation, a very powerful, inspiring, but sometimes painful conversation with Charles Hanna, who's the author of the book Higher, Awaken to a More Fulfilling Life. Charles, you know, I'm noticing that the story that you're bringing is the powerful story of the human journey that often has hidden pain and suffering when on the outside people think that everything is perfect. And you did mention at the beginning these famous people who were just idolized and loved so much by so many. Prince, most recently, Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston. These are three of many who have actually had the addiction to whatever the addictions are to overcome them and actually suck the life out of them. And we're told nowadays that the number one cause of accidental death in the world today is drug addiction. It is from drug overdose that more people die of accidental death than any other cause. So it is rampant. And this story that you have walked yourself is very pertinent to the human race. There's so many who are falling into this, into the grips of what you were saying was like being possessed, something that takes you over and is out to destroy you. So please bring us further into how you went from hitting the rock bottom place to moving into this empowered state that you're in now, and how can we do it?
Well, once I shifted my thinking and stepped away from the way I was looking at my life, and I started to look at it from a different and new perspective. Mm-hmm. It just laid the foundation for me to see many things in a different way, and what I discovered was amazing things. And I'll tell you some of them very quickly. One mm-hmm. of the things that I realized is that we, all of us actually to one extent or another, not just addicts, suffer from something that I call perception disorder. Mm-hmm. And it's a way of looking at life from your perspective. You just judge everything in terms of it being good or bad for you. And it becomes exacerbated and very strong if you have a very troubled childhood, or if you have things that, as a child, let you grow up without really knowing your place in life. If you get rejected, if you get picked on, if you see things but nobody explains them to you, you start sometimes feeling insecure and that you don't belong, and you don't like the feeling, so you try to do everything you can to stop yourself from feeling that way. So you don't participate in certain things. You have judgment against certain types of people or certain types of situations. And you grow into an adult, if that's not checked, and it continues to become worse and worse, into a more of a controlling person where you're constantly trying to control your environment so you don't feel in certain ways. And we all know we cannot control our environment. Mm-hmm. So it results in a lot of anxiety, and it results in robbing us from our ability to enjoy our life. Mm-hmm. From my experience, I found that people that are in the extreme end of that, where their perception disorder is so tainted with extreme fear or anger or apprehension or worry and all of these things, they might get into an obsessive behavior through drugs and alcohol and maybe other things related to overeating, sex addiction, gambling addiction, you know, many other characteristics of that nature. But many other people that don't have any addictions still suffer, but to lesser degrees. And you may see them in the form of not being addicts, but just being either depressed or angry about life or not having friends or living by themselves. And in the less extreme, you may find people that may, in fact, be normal and seem happy or seem to be, you know, having a life and a job and a family. But when you ask them if they're happy, they can't tell you they are.
Mm-hmm.
And when things good come to them and they are successful, they wonder why are they not satisfied yet? Why is it not bringing them this joie de vivre they talk about?
Right.
And this is because of what I consider to be a perception disorder. It's just the way we look at life from our perspective.
Okay. Which everyone does, you're saying, and this is, sounds like a kind of a defense mechanism, okay, trying an avoidance strategy to try to manage life to where you keep yourself feeling safe, would you say?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
From your own hurts and feelings of how you grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have it, and we can, but it can be corrected. And that's the thing that I talk about in the book, about how you can correct it, and it can materially change and improve your quality of life.
Okay. So how do we go into that? So first of all, okay, so if we're looking at ourselves and we're being true to ourselves, to actually examine our mind, our lives, and our state of being, and we see that we're really holding these polarities of evaluating, constantly sorting life. This is good, that's bad. This is good, that's bad. And judging others and ourselves in this way. And we see kind of these sometimes subtle, sometimes more blatant signs and symptoms of this perception disorder, okay? How do you start to make the change and move into the freedom that you're speaking of moving into from that limited perception of that disorder?
It is unbelievably simple and unbelievably obvious. We just don't see it because we don't look at it from another perspective. And that's the story that I wanted to do in my book, is that I had to go to an extreme because I was almost dead from addiction. Now, other people don't have to go to that extreme. For example, when people go up in space and they beam back pictures of what's out there, everybody on Earth can benefit from it, but they don't have to take the trip themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The trip that I had to take as an addict can help other people without them having to do this trip. And what I realized when I looked at my life from a different standpoint, I realized that I am part of something that is much larger than myself. That things did not happen because of me or despite of me or in spite of me. I found that I do not take things as personally as I did when I was looking at life from my self-centered fear.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I realized is that this life actually does not even belong to me. I mean, when we buy a car, we pay for it. When you buy a house, you go out and you choose it and you know what you want, where you want it, and you pay for it for a long time. Everything that we ever possess, we worked very hard for. The question is, what did we pay for our life? Did we even have any idea when we would come or when mm-hmm. we would leave or we would be a man or a woman or with the qualities that we have in the place we're at the time we're at? None. We had no say in that. So when I looked at it that way, I started to realize that this is really not my life as I once thought. This is my body. I'll do with it what I want. No, I have really been entrusted with this thing. And this is a gift that's been given to me. And if I am going to live it properly with gratitude, I must take care of it. This is a cardinal responsibility that I have.
Mm.
When I started to look at it from that standpoint, it completely changed my thinking about things. I realized, for example, that I have no right to hurt myself. I have no right to hurt myself, and I have every responsibility to take care of myself. I'm, for example, one of those parents that always felt I must sacrifice myself for my children. This helped me realize that I have no right to sacrifice myself even for my children. And then a step further, I realized that as I sacrificed myself for my children, I actually sacrificed them because I passed my unhappiness to them. The best thing that I can offer to them and to any other human being is for me to be a well-rounded individual that's happy and content and gives love out of richness of spirit by taking care of ourselves first. So that's the one thing that I concluded, is that I have this incredible, my higher purpose in life is to take care of myself. Now, as I went on with my thinking, I realized we don't take care of ourselves. We think we do. Some of us may even think we are selfish because we think too much about ourselves and we want to accomplish this and we want to accomplish that. But the obvious we don't see. Because the obvious of how to take care of ourselves is very simple. You take care of yourself physically, you take care of yourself mentally, and you live yourself fulfilled. And then after you have all of that, you can go out and achieve more and better society and so on. Mm-hmm. But what happens to many of us is that we look at the last one of these, which is to achieve success, and we just consume ourselves with it. And it's because of that self, that perception disorder where we believe we must have more and we must be successful and we must be acknowledged and we must be as good as, if not better, and so on. And we miss everything else in terms of taking care of ourselves or even enjoying our life.
Mm. Charles, do you think it's because people believe that there's no inherent worth in themselves and so they're driven to achieve to create value?
I think that it's part of the perception disorder problem that I talked about, where mm-hmm. they look at life from their own perspective. And I feel that society today is actually preying on that.
Yes.
So you see images, for example, of these beautiful women that, you know, have those gorgeous bodies, and not just that, they put one after the other after the other, so somebody looks at them and says, you know, I want that, and how come I'm not as good as that? And then that's not enough. Then they put them in these magnificent gowns that are more expensive than most people can buy. Then they put them in these beautiful cars and these incredible mansions and these incredible events. And then you see people with talents beyond what you could ever do and skills and power and recognition and so on. And it's not enough. They even Photoshop them and so on. So what society does is it's actually preying on our self-centered perception by making us feeling inadequate, and we must achieve and we must grow. And day after day we're told, you know, you give it everything you got and dream of success and keep doing this. And in fact, these are all the things that are actually robbing us from being able to step back and just enjoy life for what it really is.
Right. And doesn't it look like that they're trying to trick the mind into believing that having all those things means that you would be happy? You know, confusing having those things when actually some of the most beautiful women in the world are very insecure and very unhappy. You know, it's that beauty and things and stuff and beautiful gowns, as if somehow that would bring happiness. You know, it's a twisted belief, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a moth where we put, you know, a light to zap them. We're attracted to that light through a natural instinct that is actually healthy, but it's being used and it means to actually destroy them. Our instinct to be attracted to those things are healthy, but they're being manipulated in such a manner through social media and internet and so on in a very unhealthy manner that drives us somewhere else from where we should be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So how is it that you believe happiness is a way of thinking and not the result of great achievements like is portrayed to us through the media?
Because it's when I started to look at life from that standpoint that my greatest responsibility is to help myself and to really nurture myself. I realized it's just a way of looking at it, because once I looked at it that way, it seemed to be very simple and obvious what I need to do. For example, I need to take care of myself physically. There are four ways that I feel are important to take care of yourself physically. One, you have to rest well. Sleep is the most important thing you can do for yourself physically. That's when the antioxidants are released and all of these things. And very few of us actually sleep well. We have to invest in making sure that we sleep at standard times in a very comfortable way and invest in that process.
Absolutely.
The second one is our nutrition. We have to invest the time to learn about diet and what our body needs. Are we deficient in some ways or others? And make sure that we have a very good diet.
Mm-hmm. Charles, I hate to interrupt you, but we're just out of time, so I'm going to have to tell the listeners to learn the other two points beyond rest and nutrition. You're going to have to get the book. So make sure you go online or to your local bookstore and look for Charles Hanna's book, Higher, Awaken to a More Fulfilling Life. Charles, we want to thank you for all the gifts that you are bringing through the awakening that you have brought for yourself, that you're helping others to find that same awakening. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much for having me.
Blessings to you, and thank you for being with us today. Listeners, this is Dr. Leslie. I want to remind you that you are never alone. You are loved, you are worthy, and all is well. See you tomorrow.
Has Google warned you that your website is not mobile friendly and you'll be devalued in search rankings? Does your business need to rank higher in the search engines? Have you ever considered a mobile app to build customer loyalty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, let your friends at ZenLedge help launch your business into the 21st century. Mention this ad and get 2 free hours of custom development with a 5-hour commitment. That's a $200 value. Don't miss this great opportunity. Call your friends today at ZenLedge, 843-882-7149. You can also visit them on the web, zenledge.com.